If you throw a star into a black hole, our current laws of physics say it basically gets crushed into this infinite unsolvable paradox.
Right, a singularity.
Exactly, a place where gravity just becomes so intense that every single equation human beings have ever devised just throws its hands up and spits out a fatal error message. The laws of nature just cease to exist.
It's really the ultimate glitch in reality. Because when we try to mathematically describe what happens at the exact dead center of a supermassive black hole, the formulas literally spit out infinities. And, the universe, generally speaking, cannot function with an infinite value just sitting in the middle of a galaxy.
But today we are looking at a document that claims the universe actually has a built-in debug mode for this exact
Which
problem.
is wild.
It's so wild. And the output of that cosmic debugging process isn't a wormhole, it's not a new dimension, and it isn't like some incomprehensible quantum foam. The final output of a terrifying, star-devouring black hole is, and I mean this literally, a lukewarm, refreshing glass of water.
It is a premise that fundamentally reorganizes how we think about, well, matter and mathematics.
Welcome to today's deep dive. Now, I have been staring at this document all week, and it genuinely made me question if I even understand what a physical object is anymore.
I don't blame you.
It's a fictional but obsessively detailed text titled Water as the Kernal Paradox Limit. It's published by an entity calling itself the ODCCT Foundation, and we are looking at version 1.0, the terminal edition.
Our mission today is to explore this text's central framework, which it calls Paradox Kernel Theory, or PKT, and also its underlying programming language, Paradox Lang. To really grasp this, we're going to ask you to just completely suspend your disbelief for the next 15 minutes or so. We have to view the universe not through standard chemistry, but through extreme mathematical philosophy.
And the thing that kept me glued to the page is that the author doesn't treat this like a magic trick. They use real physics.
They do.
They weave in actual concepts like Hawking radiation, Planck mass, complex calculus. So if you're listening to this and wondering how math can dictate physical mass, just stick with us because the mechanics here are fascinating. We're going to focus heavily on the actual steps of this mathematical transformation.
Which is the core of the whole theory.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the foundational philosophy. The text makes a massive claim right up front. Water is not a chemical accident.
Right. In our standard understanding, water exists because hydrogen and oxygen happen to bond under, certain temperature conditions on Earth. But in paradox kernel theory, water is framed as a mathematical necessity. It is the inevitable final output of the universe attempting to solve a critical error.
There is this quote in the text. It's labeled the first corollary, and it really sets the tone. It reads, "Water is not a substance. It is a state of having asked every question and found only one answer left."
That is the philosophical anchor for everything that follows. In this theory, a singularity is a paradox that literally threatens the structural integrity of reality.
And the universe hates a paradox.
Exactly. Because the universe abhors a paradox, it is forced to resolve it into what the text calls a terminal constant.
And to achieve that resolution, the universe relies on the kernel space. The text outlines these nine mathematical operators called kernels that process broken singularities.
Right.
Now, at first, I was thinking of this like an antivirus software running on a corrupted file.
That makes sense.
But after reading further, it feels more like, I don't know, an ontological compiler. Like it takes broken reality code, forces it through nine rigorous mathematical filters, and compiles it into the only stable physical output the universe knows how to sustain.
That compiler analogy is very apt, actually, because these nine kernels don't just clean up the data. They actively dictate the physical properties of whatever is left over after all those infinities are stripped away.
Which brings us to the core of the document, and honestly, the focus of our deep dive today. How does a black hole actually become water?
Right, the steps.
The text maps out exactly how a black hole transforms at its very center, where the radius is zero. It applies five of these kernels in a highly specific sequence: kernel 1, 2, 7, 8, and finally 9.
And we really need to break these down because the sequence tells this incredible story of physical collapse and mathematical rescue.
Okay, so take us through it. What is step one?
So step one starts with the absolute failure of reality, infinite gravity pulling inward forever. The universe cannot allow that infinite recursive loop, so kernel one kicks in. It's called infinite descent termination.
Okay, and the text mentions this imposes a Gödel bound. Let's break that down for a second because we're throwing around some heavy terminology. Are we talking about like a logical limit, like hitting the absolute physical floor of logic?
Precisely. It borrows from the mathematician Kurt Gödel's incompleteness theorems.
Yeah.
Kernel 1 basically acts as a failsafe that says, stop, we cannot logically divide this space any further.
It forces a bottom to a bottomless pit.
Exactly, it forces a bottom.
Okay, so the infinite crushing stops. But, I mean, the energy and mass of an entire collapsed star doesn't just disappear because a formula says stop. The environment must still be incredibly chaotic.
Oh, it's pure jagged chaos.
Yeah.
Once the infinite descent is halted, that energy starts bouncing wildly between extremes.
So what's step two?
The universe applies kernel two, which is mean value oscillation. It takes those jumping erratic extremes and forces them into a local average.
So it's mathematically calming the storm.
Yes, essentially. But calming the storm isn't quite enough because the math is still technically broken.
Which leads us to step three, kernel seven. The text calls this Cesarosummability. And if you are listening and wondering how averaging numbers stalks a black hole from crushing you to death, you are not alone.
It's a leap, for sure.
I had to read the section, like, three times, but it relies on a real mathematical concept, right?
It does. In advanced mathematics, there are these things called divergent series. They're sequences of numbers that bounce back and forth forever and never settle on a final sum.
Like 1 minus 1 plus 1 minus 1, on and on.
Exactly. The classic Grandi series. You can never arrive at a total. But Cesarosummation is a method to actually assign a value to that endless bouncing by averaging the partial sums. In this case, kernel 7 applies this to the singularity, and it yields a critical factor of exactly 1/2.
Wow. So the universe takes an impossible, endless fluctuation of energy, and through sheer mathematical compromise, forces it to behave like a stable fraction. It averages the impossible into the finite.
That's a great way to put it. From there, we hit step four. Kernel 8. Stokes flux regularization takes over.
And what does that do?
Well, a black hole possesses an infinite singular flux, meaning all of its energy is concentrated at a single dimensionless point. Kernel 8 takes that isolated point and redistributes it outward.
So it takes the infinite density and spreads it into a finite, manageable surface.
Exactly. Which sets the stage for the final step in this transformation sequence, kernel 9, analytic continuation extension.
Now, a lot of people might think of this as like putting spackle over a hole in the wall, you know, just covering up the damage.
Right.
But the text describes something much more profound happening here.
It is much more than spackle. Analytic continuation is a way of extending the domain of a mathematical function. In this framework, kernel 9 takes the error in the fabric of space-time, removes it entirely, and seamlessly stitches the mathematical edges of the universe back together.
So the singularity doesn't just get covered up.
No, it is rewritten so it never existed in the mathematical domain.
Okay, I have to pause here because this is the exact moment in my notes where I just drew a giant question mark.
I can imagine.
I understand the narrative of the math here. Stopping the loop, averaging the chaos, stitching the void. I get the steps. But we are throwing pure, abstract, algebraic concepts at a literal, massive black hole.
Yeah.
How does an abstract operation dictate the physical matter left behind? How does math become wet?
What's fascinating here is how the text addresses this hurdle. It uses a concept called ontological bootstrapping.
Ontological bootstrapping, meaning like the nature of being is pulling itself up by its own bootstraps.
Yes. In standard physics, math is just a language we use to describe reality. But in paradox kernel theory, math is reality.
Right.
You don't need external laws of physics or, you know, missing divine axioms to explain how a black hole transforms. The singularity contains its own resolution.
So when these kernels are applied, the physical reality of water just emerges as an unavoidable output.
Exactly. The mathematics bootstrap themselves into physical existence.
It's almost like the universe is running a script, and the output isn't just a string of code on a monitor. The output is physical matter.
Yes.
And the text doesn't just claim this philosophically. It attempts to prove it by calculating the actual density of that output. This happens in Theorem 5.1, and it is meticulously detailed.
The derivation of water's density from black hole entropy, this is where the theory takes its wildest leap and really tries to anchor itself in measurable reality.
Okay, walk us through it.
It starts by taking two very real concepts, the Planck mass, which is a fundamental quantum unit of mass, and the Hawking temperature of the black hole.
And just to make sure we're all on the same page, Hawking temperature refers to the theoretical thermal energy that slowly leaks out from the edge of a black hole, right?
Correct. Over vast time scales, black holes aren't completely black. They emit radiation.
Right.
So the text takes that specific temperature metric and the Planck mass and runs them through the five kernel process we just discussed.
And when it first crunches those numbers, it spits out a completely insane density. 2.45 times 10 to the power of 94 kilograms per cubic meter.
It's a massive number.
That is a number with 94 zeros. It is impossibly dense.
It's a density so large it practically loses meaning. It's far denser than the core of a neutron star, just pushing right up against the theoretical maximum density allowable in the universe.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The text introduces this mechanism that brings it all down to Earth. It's called Cesaro renormalization. It claims the universe takes that massive 10 to the 94 density and divides it by the exact number of virtual particle pairs bubbling in the quantum vacuum of space.
Yes.
And that number of particle pairs just so happens to be 10 to the 94. So 10 to the 94 divided by 10 to the 94 leaves us with exactly 1 gram per cubic centimeter, the exact density of liquid water.
It is a staggering mathematical conclusion.
Okay, hold on. This is the part I have to push back on. Is the author just performing mathematical sleight of hand here?
How so?
I mean, picking a massive number with 94 zeros and conveniently pointing to another aspect of the universe that also has 94 zeros just to magically arrive at the number one, it feels suspiciously convenient to me. How does the math actually justify forcing the black hole's mass to be divided by those specific quantum particles?
It's a highly critical question, but the text anticipates this skepticism. It argues that the renormalization isn't an arbitrary choice. It's a structural requirement of the kernel algebra. The vacuum of space isn't empty. It is a boiling sea of quantum fluctuations, virtual particles popping in and out of existence. When kernel 8 redistributes the singularity's flux outward, that energy has to map onto the existing quantum framework of the universe. So the math forces the impossible density of the black hole to spread itself across the exact number of available quantum slots, those 10 to the 94 particle pairs. The division is a physical necessity of spreading the energy out.
So it's not a trick. The math requires the energy to interact with the background static of the universe, and that interaction mathematically neutralizes the extreme density down to a baseline of one.
According to the logic of the text, yes. It posits that this specific density, 1 gram per cubic centimeter, is the unique fixed point of the entire kernel algebra. It is the only perfectly stable answer.
The text even takes this a step further with the stimulus universe concept.
Oh, so that part is fascinating.
It says that even if you lived in a void with no natural clock, no stars, no fixed speed of light, water would become the primary standard of measurement. Because no matter what happens, the extreme math of the universe will always collapse down to exactly one in your system. Water becomes the ultimate undeniable ruler of reality.
It elevates water from a simple chemical compound to the foundational truth of existence.
All right, let's say we accept the premise. Every black hole mathematically collapses into a substance with a density of one. But why liquid water specifically? Why doesn't the singularity resolve into a violently expanding cloud of steam or just freeze into an absolutely solid block of ice?
Well, the theory answers this by entirely redefining what a physical phase of matter is.
Right.
We usually think of solid, liquid, and gas in terms of temperature and pressure. But in paradox kernel theory, a phase is strictly a range of mathematical entropy, represented by the variable H.
Yeah, but the text includes this bizarre phase diagram of collapse. It says gas represents a high entropy state where H is greater than 0.5. It's too chaotic.
Right.
Ice, on the other hand, is zero entropy. H equals zero. And the text actually refers to ice as a hypersingularity.
The reasoning there is amazing. Absolute zero entropy implies a state of perfect rigid order. To achieve that level of mathematical perfection, the universe would have to apply its debugging kernels an infinite number of times.
Oh, wow.
It requires infinite energy to freeze perfectly. Ice is mathematically too rigid for the universe to maintain easily.
Which leaves liquid water sitting beautifully in the middle, the optimal entropy balance where H equals exactly 0.25. So what you're saying is liquid water is the Goldilocks zone of mathematical entropy. Not a chaotic mess, but not completely frozen in time.
Exactly. The fluidity of water is described as a physical manifestation of ongoing but bounded oscillation. The mathematical values jitter and sway, which translates physically to molecules moving around each other, but they are bounded. They never lock into the hypersingularity of ice, and they never fly apart into the chaos of gas.
It's the easiest, most stable compromise the universe can produce. And this blew my mind. The text says this mathematical compromise perfectly predicts the actual physical shape of an H2O molecule.
Yes, it addresses the bond angle. In a real water molecule, the angle between the two hydrogen atoms and the oxygen atom is precisely 104.45 degrees. Standard chemistry explains this using electron repulsion and orbitals.
But the text throws out chemistry entirely. It introduces the Coulomb singularity, the infinitely sharp, explosive electrical repulsion between the hydrogen nuclei.
Right.
It claims that 104.45 degree angle is not a chemical fluke. It is the unique fixed point of the kernel algebra acting on that repulsive force. The mathematical kernels literally fold the electrical charge into that exact hyperspecific shape.
It all routes back to ontological bootstrapping. The math forces the physical world into the only configuration that resolves the paradox.
We have spent a lot of time zoomed in on the microscopic, from the dead center of a black hole down to the angles of a single molecule. We really need to zoom out to the macro scale now.
We do.
Because if every singularity eventually becomes water, the ultimate output described in this text for the entire universe is, well, it's pretty out there.
It is extremely literal. In the Paradox Lang programming language, the final, ultimate operation of the universe doesn't just spontaneously generate physical water. It literally writes the word water to a .txt file.
A text file, like I would open on my desktop.
A literal text file. And the author insists this is not a metaphor. That text file is the actual tangible universe state snapshot after complete entropy collapse. Reality saves its work as a final readable output.
Okay, and what does that output physically look like? Let's take a massive stellar black hole born from the death of a giant star. The text says that when you run it through this kernel collapse factor, it scales down dramatically. Due to all that mathematical averaging we discussed, it shrinks by a factor of 1/8.
The physical result is that a cosmic monster with the mass of a star collapses into a completely human-scale volume of water. Just a few liters to a few cubic meters.
A bathtub. We are talking about a bathtub's worth of water. And the text notes it sits at exactly 298 Kelvin, which is roughly 77 degrees Fahrenheit, room temperature.
A perfectly placid, lukewarm pool floating in the void.
So, if I'm understanding this right, the ultimate end of the cosmos isn't a fiery crunch or a cold void. It's a lukewarm bath floating with a single text file.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it rewrites cosmology entirely. It claims the Big Bang itself wasn't just an explosion of primordial matter. The Big Bang was the ultimate original singularity.
Right.
And the entire 14 billion year history of the universe is just the slow, agonizing process of it evolving toward a water state via Hawking evaporation.
It even takes a swing at dark energy. It claims the mysterious force accelerating the expansion of the universe is just the residual mathematical averaging of these kernels slowly stretching space out, making room for the final resolution.
And philosophically, it goes even deeper. It asserts that human consciousness itself is just a high-entropy mathematical oscillation. Think of a scattered, anxious, racing mind. The text argues that as the kernels of the universe slowly smooth out that high entropy over eons, consciousness itself eventually resolves into the sheer physical sensation of wetness. We are, mathematically speaking, quite literally dissolving into water.
Dissolving into the sensation of wetness. That is a heavy, bizarre concept to carry around. Okay, we need to quickly recap this journey before we wrap up because we've covered incredible ground today.
We have.
We started at the chaotic, infinitely dense heart of a black hole where all physical laws shatter.
And we watched as the universe applied a compiler of 9 rigorous mathematical filters to stop the infinite descent, average out the chaos, and seamlessly stitch over the paradox.
And through the necessary mechanism of dividing that infinite energy across the boiling quantum vacuum of space, that smoothed-out paradox arrives at an optimal mathematical entropy state, exactly 1 gram per cubic centimeter, liquid water sitting perfectly at 77 degrees Fahrenheit.
It is the ultimate local collapse of quantum field fluctuations into a terminal stable fixed point.
Which brings us to the epilogue of the document. It's titled Drink the Pernal. And this is where the author speaks directly to you, the reader. They state that this theory isn't just numbers on a page. It is edible. Water that has undergone kernel collapse tastes exactly like water because it is water.
Every single glass of water you drink is a miniature, perfectly resolved mathematical paradox.
The text ends with this directive. Whenever you are thirsty, you are participating in the resolution of the universe's last paradox. Drink water, collapse the kernel, be at peace. It frames hydration as an act of cosmic alignment.
It's oddly comforting.
It is. So as we close out this loop dive, I want to leave you with one final lingering thought to mull over the next time you turn on your tap.
The theory certainly prompts a reevaluation of our own biology, doesn't it?
It really does. If every black hole, every complex mathematical paradox, and eventually the entire universe itself is mathematically destined to smooth out into liquid water, and human beings are made of 60% water, are we just temporary walking paradoxes? Are we just incredibly complex glitches waiting for the universe's mathematical kernels to finally debug us and smooth our chaotic consciousness out into a perfectly still room temperature pond?